You're listening to New England Public Media News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist, NEPM's Week in Review. Joining us today on the line, veteran Western Mass journalist Dave Eisenstatter and Carrie Saldo, WGBH Worcester Bureau reporter. Dave, Carrie, thanks for being with us today.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
Next Thursday will mark 1 year since the World Health Organization declared a pandemic because of COVID-19. Before we look at this week's top stories, we want to give our guests a chance to reflect on the last year, either how it's impacted them, the region, or the world. So, Dave, let's start with you.
How hasn't it affected us and the world and the region? Every aspect of life. I mean, for me, you know, I think everyone's got their own dates. You know, for me, a big one was March 24th. That's when I got laid off. And since then, the Gazette has lost half of its staff. That's just one small piece of the enormous pandemic puzzle that has happened since then. It's been a very strange year. And it is kind of humbling to think about the fact that a year has passed.
What about you, Carrie?
Oh, just wake me when it's over. No, I mean, just the past year, I feel like I've just gone back and forth between being incredibly grateful, you know, to Dave's point, to having a job, to being able to work from home, having a family that's been largely safe and healthy, and then just super angry because of the gross inequities that this has just brought to the fore. They've been there for a long time. They've been exacerbated by this. And, thankfully, people are talking about them more. But what we really need to now see is, you know, response from government. That's just one issue that comes to mind, is the number of women who've dropped out of the workforce because of the pandemic, because we in this country don't have sufficient family-friendly policies like paid parental leave or childcare subsidies. And we really, I think, need to take this as an opportunity moving forward as a country to take a hard look and fix these problems.
Well, one thing that's been developed over the last year is COVID-19 vaccines. And this week, teachers in Massachusetts found out they would be eligible for vaccination starting next week. Massachusetts had educators further back in the priority list, but President Joe Biden challenged states to get it done fast. This comes as Governor Charlie Baker's administration has been pushing to reopen elementary schools for in-person learning. Christine Alger has been teaching special needs students in class at Holyoke's Donahue School.
You know, we're taking a risk every day. The kids are taking a risk. Their families are taking a risk. So the sooner that at least the staff can get vaccinated, the safer we'll all be.
Carrie, Massachusetts teachers have been pushing for the shots for a while, but should it have taken the White House to actually make it happen?
No, absolutely not. You know, and this is in some cases a good news story, right? Teachers unions are being heard finally after pushing for months to move teachers up in the eligibility. But I think also there's a real strong case to be made for a cynical news scenario here. We know that the state education commissioner is going to come out at some point today and say whether or not he's going to, in fact, push for teachers to be back and kids to be back full time in April. And if you just crunch the numbers, it's highly unlikely that all teachers will be fully protected by a vaccine in time for that April deadline that we think that the state will probably move forward with.
Dave, will allowing teachers to get their shots maybe ease fears of parents who are hesitant to send their kids back to school for in-person classes?
For some people, probably. And I think that that's a good thing. I don't think it's going to ease everyone's fears. There are definitely a lot of people who want to stick with remote learning. That's not going to be an option for everyone. But vaccinating teachers is important. Opening schools is important. There have been laws from the beginning that have prioritized restaurants and bars over schools. And it's such a shame that, you know, schools have had to remain closed this long and people not having the option to go to school. So I am glad that the teachers were moved up in that process.
Shifting gears, also this week, Connecticut reached a deal with the operators of the Mohegan Sun Casino to allow sports gambling. The agreement would also allow the state lottery to take bets on sports. There's still a long ways to go, however. As we sit here this afternoon, the operators of Connecticut's other casino, Foxwoods, haven't signed on to the deal, and the Hartford Current reports the state's off-track betting vendor is planning to sue. Dave, assuming this actually does become a reality, is it a good deal for Connecticut?
I mean, I'm never one to celebrate, you know, when there's additional gambling. I think that, you know, there's definitely revenue to be had there for the state. And that can be a good thing when it supports good programs for education and infrastructure, things like that. But you're getting money from, you know, an addictive habit that's bad for people. And, you know, you're putting a strain on vulnerable populations in the state. So, you know, it's hard to say whether it's a good deal for everyone involved when it's kind of it's not the best thing that's going on with gambling.
Meanwhile, in Massachusetts, State Senator Eric Lesser of Longmeadow says efforts to bring sports betting to the state are in the second or third inning, with many bills pending on Beacon Hill. He says, though, Massachusetts should get moving given what's happened in Connecticut.
You know, I think that this is an issue that's time has come. And if Massachusetts continues to sort of try to build a wall around ourselves or create an island, it's ultimately not going to work because people will be able to very easily drive to another state and participate.
And Rhode Island and New Hampshire already offer sports betting. Carrie, little happens quickly on Beacon Hill. Will Massachusetts beat Connecticut to the punch on this?
Well, Adam, if this is the second or third inning, like Senator Lesser said, it's going to be a long game. I remember when I talked to Representative Joe Wagner, who chaired the Economic Development Committee before Senator Lesser, and we talked some like in the spring of 2018. And at that time, he predicted that that was going to be a front burner issue for 2019-2020 session. Now, you know, you can toss the pandemic in there, but if he thought this was going to happen at the beginning of 2019, and here we are in 2021, and it's still not done. I think it's going to be a bit longer before Massachusetts crosses all the T's and dots all the I's on this one.
We wrap up this week with news that six books by famed children's author and Springfield native Dr. Seuss will no longer be published. The company that controls the late Theodore Geisel's books says these books, quote, portray people in ways that are hurtful and wrong. Carrie, Dr. Seuss has a complicated legacy. What do you take from these latest developments?
Well, I think the publisher made the right call. They are hurtful and they are wrong. And I've heard a few people, many people, especially white people this week saying, you know, what's wrong with these books? And I don't think there's anything wrong with asking that question. But if you're sitting there thinking the answer to that question is nothing, I would absolutely encourage you to start thinking about a different question. And that question is being, you know, ask yourself, how do people depicted in these books feel about the characterization? And if the answer is in fact hurtful and wrong, which we know that to be, then those are the people who need to be listened to.
Dave, I'll give you the last word.
Yeah, I 100% agree. As a father of two small children, I have to say that it is difficult to find books and movies, all kinds of things that don't have bad depictions of certain people. And it's just, you really don't want to be exposing your children to that at the beginning. So it is nice when you do find some good books out there. And, you know, I certainly don't miss, you know, these books that are depicting minorities, other folks, you know, women just in a bad light. So, you know, their time has passed and, you know, let's start making new books, new movies that don't treat people like that.
All right, veteran Western Mass journalist Dave Eisenstatter and Carrie Saldo with WGBH as the Worcester Bureau reporter. Thanks for being with us today.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the shortlist NEPM's Week in Review. You can catch us at any time, wherever you get your podcasts or at nepm.org/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Media.